The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Freddie Kitchens to the Browns. Did a good job with that offense over the second half.
I don't know how sexy it is, but that's fine.
The rumor now with the Jets is starting to hear a lot more Matt Rhule.
Bad for Baylor.
Vic Fangio to your Broncos. And Gary Kubiak back on the offensive coordinator.
I think the Blitz predicted this exact scenario yesterday.
Kubiak is still a damn good OC. You know, and that'll give Fangio, if he's just going to run the defense, he can just leave the offense alone. You know, that's a good mix there.
How many teams from the SEC were winning championships? And since 1998, 12 of the 20 champions have come from the SEC. Clemson winning was the third time an SEC team lost a national championship game. That's dominance, no matter what way you cut it.
I don't think the SEC is overrated at all. They have a bunch of the best coaches on the planet. They spend a bunch of money. And the best judge of that, just go look at how many guys they put in the NFL every year.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975, and at MK Pallet, as the Beer Meister himself joins us. Eric Warner, feels like it's been a month since we've seen you.
It's been a while.
I know it hasn't been that long, but it feels like it's been forever.
It does. I mean, the holidays kind of do that, right? And it's been, I think, like 3 weeks, so that's getting on the better part of a month. How you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. I don't know about you. I don't know how your week's going, but I've, like, when I was driving into work today, I was like, God, it feels like Thursday or Friday. Like, I'm drained. I'm running out of steam. But it's only Wednesday.
I feel the exact same way. I mean, I was out for a couple weeks, so and I'm acting quality manager right now because the guy that was our quality manager took a new job out in California, only to find out, I don't know if you follow that trade press, but
I do not.
But said brewery like is laying people off and selling equipment, so I was like saying to my guys, "Huh, I wonder if he's got some buyer's remorse."
So has he not tried to how long ago did he leave?
Right after Thanksgiving.
What's the brewery?
Hangar 24.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're kind of on the radar map there. The radar, yeah. And you know, he was looking to, you know, he was just doing quality management. He's like running the whole brewery now, so he was kind of looking for that next step, right? It's kind of like an offensive coordinator going to head coach kind of thing, you know.
And it ain't a bad place to live.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like Redlands. Like that's a good part of the world to be in.
SoCal, exactly. Can't fault a guy for that. So, But anyway, so yours truly
is. It's like in the mountains part. Like if
it's kind of east LA.
Yeah.
So it's like really hot there in the summer because you're far enough away from the coast.
Yeah. I guess it's like between LA and Vegas, kind of. I don't know. I'll have to pull up a map. It's like close to Big Bear, I guess. But that's a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, I feel your pain. It's been a busy week wearing extra hats right now. And so, but it's good, right? Get you kind of back in the midst of it and back in the fire, so to speak.
That's right.
And in tune with the.
Well, we were so thrown off by all these short weeks that we had, like Christmas and then a new year. It was just, it was weird. And then this week, it's the first week that it's like, oh, you have to work 5 whole days in the week. That's not easy.
It you know, I hate to say it. I genuinely I'm not a big fan of the French, but their whole like 4-day work week thing. I mean, I could, you know, I would rather work like 4 days, you know, 12 to 15 hours, but then have like 3 days, you know, that are yours.
Yeah.
Like I've known a lot of pilots growing up, right? And just, you know, it just kind of happened, like friends of the family, whatever. And those guys had a great, man. They're like, you know, working for 3 days, but then yeah. They got, you know, and that's what they're doing. But then I like knew this guy. He was a merchant marine, and he was 3 months on, 3 months off. That's too extreme.
Yeah. I was doing, when I was working offshore, I would work 4 weeks of 12-hour days, and then I would have 2 weeks off to do whatever I wanted. Like I could sleep all day or, you know, go out and get wasted or do a bunch of blow or, you know, whatever I wanted.
No beer during those 4 weeks though, right?
No.
Yeah.
You couldn't have beer out there.
Yeah. So that'd be, that, I don't know, that'd be rough. I guess same thing on the ship, right? If you're
well, that's where I was. Cab. I was on a ship. I was on a drill ship.
Okay.
So yeah, they wouldn't let you bring booze out there.
No, probably not a good idea.
No.
Some serious safety issues out there.
Yeah, everything's about safety.
Oh, God,
so what's such an overrated thing, safety? You guys emphasize that at the brewery?
We do. Every year, we a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
And we were pretty right-sized for it. We can always do better, right? And
yeah.
It's important.
Do you have the little sign that says it's been X amount of days? Since?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's we track that daily, actually.
Have you guys had any gnarly injuries like in your whole time there?
We have had a couple.
Like
I mean,
a
nothing
lost
really
finger?
Gnarly. Nothing, no lost appendages or anything. We had a guy break his leg pretty good. Just kind of in a freak thing, falling off he was counting some hops and fell off, and that was years ago, but feel pretty bad about that one and for that guy. Cause it kind of permanently affected him. He's still with us, but that's other than that, nothing super crazy. So
I want to ask you about your brewery exactly. Like, what was production 3 years ago per year? What's production expected to be, or what was it in 2018? I guess since you just wrapped up 2018, what's the how much beer are you guys pumping out?
Yeah, so we're, you know, we finished the year up a little over 20%, and last year we were under. Just under 100,000 barrels. So they don't like me talking like specifics, right?
Okay.
So, but you can kind of do the quick math there, right? And then I think 3 years ago, we were at 80,000 barrels. So we're still kind of in that solid double digits growth range. But what we're really excited about, we kind of figured out with our distributor, Silver Eagle here, they were kind of crunching some numbers and we are like right on Shiner's heels in Houston, in the greater Houston market.
Like how much gets sold or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like they're still definitely bigger than us statewide. You know, they sell a lot more than we do like in DFW,
right.
Austin, Santa, rest of the state. But in Houston, our home market, we are current trajectories hold, we're going to pass them in the first half of this year.
So that's Shiner is actually the reason why I brought this question up because my mom lives in Shiner and I go out there, you know, 2-3 times a year, always on a weekend or a holiday. My brother happened to get married in Shiner So I was out there on a Thursday and a Friday, which I never am. And I was like, the brewery's closed on the weekends, so you can't take tours on the weekends. So I went and did a brewery tour at Shiner. That place pumps out so much beer. I mean, it's almost like it's next. I mean, I've seen your setup and it's big. Like, I feel like you guys are making a lot of beer. They're talking about rinsing, drying, and filling something like, I don't know, it was like 800 cans per second.
Per minute, per minute, yeah, okay. Per minute, yep. Which is fast. That's a big line. That's a big can line.
I mean, and just to watch it go, it was like, oh my God. I mean, how much beer can? Then the bigger, the crazier thing was, they were talking about how many truckloads of empty bottles they have to have trucked in every single day, and it's like 4 or 5 18-wheelers of empty glass that they've got to get shipped from Dallas, I guess. To fill all their beers. I was like, that's just insane how much beer they're making. And I always wonder, like, maybe it's easier for them because, I mean, not that they don't make multiple beers, because they do, but I think they said something like 80 or 85% of their sales are Shinerbock. So, I mean, obviously, things can run pretty smoothly when almost everything you're brewing is what's, you know, being run through. And you guys are obviously, you're doing a lot of seasonal stuff. How many year-round beers? 9, 10 year-round beers. It's a lot different setup. But, I mean, at what point do you feel like, do you feel like Carbot can be producing like what they're doing? Is that even on the map?
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, it's something we started talking about years and years ago as kind of a big, crazy dream, like, you know, to be the number one craft brewery. I mean, Shiner's a craft brewery, right? They fall into the definition. And so we were like, hey, let's see if we can catch them. And you know, I think they do... in Texas, around 250,000 barrels. So we're kind of still like only maybe half of that statewide, right? But yeah, we're still, like I say, the fact that in Houston we're, we've almost caught them. That's pretty exciting. So, you know, different dynamics, right? And,
yeah,
and like they really blew up in the 90s and 2000s, right? And you know, we started from zero and grew pretty fast, but you know, there's a lot of breweries out there now, right?
Yeah.
It's a different environment. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not like a growth at all costs kind of thing, right? Like we're going to do it the right way and keep trying to make the best beer we can and, you know, let the chips kind of fall where they may.
You guys are making more beer than St. Arnold now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We have been for a few years.
Okay.
So. Yeah, they're definitely behind us in Houston.
That's wild. I mean, it's wild that like from where Carbock started, and it's funny to go now. And I was noticing it when we were at the what was the last music thing called?
The Foamhenge.
Foamhenge. Yeah,
yeah.
All that new building, like obviously the new brewery and restaurant and stuff is a huge add on, but then all that new build behind the original warehouse. I mean, and then you think about that little warehouse, that was the whole brewery. Like maybe even when I met you, that was the whole brewery.
It was that first time when we were out drinking BBH on a cold, I think it was like January, February day.
Fred and Tepper and I.
Yep. Maybe,
were you there, John?
Yeah,
John, yeah, was there too.
And we just had that one building at that point still.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what, 5 years ago,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, 5 or 6, something like that, yeah.
Man, did you see this coming?
No, heck no. I mean,
you take this job, what's your goal? What's your like Willy Wonka crazy, this could happen? What was your goal?
Well, I always say, I mean, the first 3 years we said we'd like to do 3,000, 6,000 and 9,000 barrels of beer. And we did 8,000, 19,000 and 33,000. So,
right.
You know, that original business plan, we had to crumple up and throw in the trash can pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, we were, You know, I read something on Twitter, and I believe in this. I see these philosophies every so often that, you know, a lot of times it comes down to luck. It really does. Like, you know, to bring it back to football, Brady, you know, Bledsoe doesn't go down. Does that story ever happen?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Or if he doesn't go down when he does go down, you know?
Yeah. And so we were definitely kind of like right time, right place. I mean, yeah, a lot of hard work, a lot of sweat, a lot of risk.
Yeah.
Right? But we just kept kind of doubling down. And, you know, I don't think you can do that today, right? I mean, you hear more and more about breweries kind of saying, well, we're going to take a more cautious approach, right, and not do the big expansion. And so we were just really fortunate, I think, to be – you know, growing in the early part of the 2010s, and you know, Houston was kind of ripe for it. Texas was, you know, adding breweries like crazy. So yeah, it's insane, AJ. Every so often I think about it, and you know, when I walk around the brewery, like almost daily, because you know, when I'm walking around, I just see all the new building and equipment. Is like, never saw that coming.
What's the next brewery in Houston that you could see making a huge jump into like the statewide market and really getting their beer heavily distributed?
I mean, I really like the Eureka Heights guys, what they're doing, their beers. I think, you know, Buckle Bunny is, I mean, you know, I know this isn't like your wheelhouse of beers.
Cream ales?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You can get like, I always hear people like, oh, they make a really good cream ale. And if you tell me your best beer is a cream ale, I'm probably out on your brewery. Although I do like Eureka Heights. They do a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, Nuke the Whales, I love it. Yeah. Caliente.
I'm not crazy really on their stuff. Cream ale, but
here's the thing, right? That could like, if that could butter their bread so they can then continue to play around. It's like their Love Street, right? Like Love Street allows us to, you know, pay the bills and do kind of new fun beers. So... But I think those guys have really good business sense and high quality beers. Again, regardless of kind of your preference for styles, so I could see them doing some things for sure.
Yeah, there's a couple of them in this town. Like I know B52 is starting to produce way more. I mean, I don't know if you went out there 4 or 5 years ago, but it was like, I mean, it made Carbach look like a giant
trailer, yeah, like or something.
A mega house. But I mean, they were working out of like nothing. There was like a tiny little shed with a bunch of cats running around, and now they've got like this massive barrel room. I mean, it's
and Dave's the right guy to be kind of running that.
And
you know,
the whole scene's blowing up, man. I mean, it's everybody. I know Buffalo Bayou's got a new building that they're working on, which is going to up their production. I mean, this city is still like in a full craft beer boom, which is kind of wild to think about, because a lot of other parts of the country, it's not working out that way.
Well, I think because Texas was kind of lagging behind the rest of the country, that's a plus. And it's 8 million, 10 million people, depending on how you look at the market area. Yeah. It's a lot of room for opportunity.
Hey, can you hang around for a little bit and we'll talk about this Daymaker?
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, guys, let me tell you about my computer career. If 2018 was another year where you were like, I'm going to get out of this job one of these days, why would you consider an IT career? Because if you're not a math or a computer or a science whiz and that's what's holding you back, they don't care. Helping people start an IT career, that's what they do. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career could work for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. You attend classes on campus or live online just a few times a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Make new year, new career your resolution and take the free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty.
Going
to
answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This segment is brought to you by Carbach. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back on the Blitz. Eric Mayhem Warner. I'm going to make that stick.
I get it all the time. Although it's funny, I was at a restaurant over the holidays, and I saw we had a waiter. And I don't usually do this, but I had to about midway through. We had a good rapport going.
Do you know
with
who I am?
No, I actually did lead with that as an icebreaker. I was like, hey, I get this all the time, but you know you look like Martin Sheen. He's like, yep, I get that all the time. But it was crazy. He really was like a Martin Sheen look, like younger Martin Sheen. But
I was about to say, if he's Martin Sheen's age and still
waiting table.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing. Somebody's retirement plan didn't work out. Tell us about the Daymaker here.
Yeah, so we kind of glossed over this one a couple segments ago when I was in, we hadn't quite released it, but now it's out there full throttle. I mean, this is a great way to, you know, if you are breaking down on your January promises a little bit and you want to like cheat and sneak something in, this is a 140 calorie 6% beer. So 70% of calories in beer, I mean, alcohol is going to drive that to a degree, right? Yeah. So a lot of low-cal beers are going to be like 4% beers, but it also has a very unique taste and flavor. You know, we were trying to make this, it's a brut rosé, right? So we're trying to make it kind of white wine-like, rosé-like, if you will. So some things we did with the yeast, the hopping really does kind of get these white wine kind of notes to it. Very refreshing for folks who are kind of like, well, I don't really like beer. It's something definitely worth a try, and it's on fire. So we did a big release of it in December, and we were kind of like thinking, all right, we're not going to have to do another release until late January. And we figured out still in December, holy crap, we got to brew a bunch more of this. So it's selling well. You can find it at all the usual places where you can find Carbach, and we're excited about it.
How's the chocolate stout doing?
Chocolate stout's also doing quite well.
That's what I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, so and it's kind of a yin and yang, right? It's kind of like, you know, all right, if you want to something lean and healthier, you can go with the Daymaker. If you're really looking for the big chewier beer for when the it's supposed to be cold tonight. I think it's supposed to only get, you know, be in the like low 40s. So do a chocolate stout when you get home.
Well, this is my beer intake for the day. We've already discussed.
But when you're still like, I mean, so what are you doing with all those great beers you got stashed away?
I'm gonna drink them in a couple months, I guess.
So you're saying in a couple months you're gonna like?
I'm gonna rage out.
Okay.
Yeah.
One time or back to full rage?
No, I'll probably rage in bursts going
forward. Yeah, that's the way it works, man, when you get older, right?
It's hard for me to just, like, I can't just walk around being in great shape all the time. Not like you. I mean, you got it made.
I have a, although, you know, it's funny, because I've seen your old man, right?
Because
I think a lot of it's sort of genetic. You get it from your,
right.
You know, and I mean, my dad's pretty lean and mean. My mom is really big in the middle, but like I inherited her legs. Like I have like pigeon lower legs. I get joked about that all the time. But I work out a few times a week, right? And I try to watch what I eat, right? I don't eat silly, but
right.
I just try to limit intake. You know, that's the best way to combat it, I guess.
Yeah, that's when I'm drinking beer now. I only have usually just one, and that way I savor it a little more. I might have a couple of drinks afterwards, but it's not beer, so I'll just have the one beer. So it's one way to, you know, some of those, of course, are bombers.
Yep.
But a lot of them are just, you know, if it's something I just want to really enjoy, and I find I'm enjoying it a lot more, and I'm not wasting my really good beers when I've already had two or three others and I'm kind of buzzed already. So you really appreciate the beer more. At least I do.
So, I mean, that's one of the big trends that everybody's sort of talking about with craft beers now is, you know, and beverages in general. I mean, one of the I can't stand these things, but one of the things that's like blown up are the seltzers, the you know, alcoholic seltzers. And everybody's saying, you know, kind of with beer, okay, health and wellness is gonna be a thing. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, do you guys sense that that's like a greater trend? Like, I mean, are you kind of, I mean, you're doing your thing, AJ.
I try to stay in the middle.
Keto. Yeah.
I try to stay in the middle. I try to be healthy most of the time. And then every once in a while I have some beer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's got to be a balance to it, because if being healthy is like your only hobby or your only interest, I don't know how much fun of
you're kind of boring.
Yeah,
I people like that are I mean you're spending so much of your day like doing that, right? Yeah. Like running or cycling or whatever it is you do.
And I spend a lot of time exercising per day, but I mean I mostly do that so I can have some fun, you know, so I can eat some pizza or drink some beer or whatever. You know, that's kind of the way I've always looked at it.
That's exactly how I am too. I sort of do what I need to do to be able to do those things. There is also an element of, because I ran in high school distance, and I do like feel better. You get this sort of different kind of energy level if you do some kind of vigorous cardio work or whatever.
Hey, one of the things we talked about earlier, I wanted to run by you. You're redrafting every quarterback in the league. Where do you take Nick Foles? Like, for, let's say, for the next 10 years. So take into account the age of players. So not just for this year, but I'm saying like going forward. You're one of the 32 GMs in the league. What number does Nick Foles come off the board for quarterbacks for you?
I'm saying top 10, probably back half of top 10. The inconsistency earlier this season, and some of that's, you know, Super Bowl champ slump, September, you know, you can't read too much into September, but man, I'll tell you, AJ, I saw that +9 early on Sunday night and I hit that hard. Again, betting the number, not necessarily, any love for Philly, but it's hard to bet against that guy right now. I mean, his December, January track record is pretty impressive.
Why don't you stick around for one more, because I wanted to ask you about your beloved Broncos. Can you do that?
Sure.
You're not busy?
No, the wife's still in Colorado. Lucky gal.
Good. Nice.
All right, then I'm going to tell you about Gulf Greyhound Park. Live racing going on right now until February 23rd. So short meet here, an opportunity to get in and see live Greyhound racing, including tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you're down there in the area and you're looking for something to do and you want to see live Greyhound racing, well, head over there right now. Every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 7 o'clock and Sundays at noon, you've got live Greyhound racing. You can also watch and wager daily on America's greatest Greyhound and horse track 7 days a week with simulcasting. Gates open daily at 11 a.m. But if you want to get in on the live racing, it's only until the 23rd of next month. So now is your chance. Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday at 7 and Sundays at noon. Gulf Greyhound's located at exit 15 off the Gulf Freeway in Lamarck. For more info, visit gulfgreyhound.com. That's gulfgreyhound.com. Get in on the live Greyhound racing, gulfgreyhound.com.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we're back on the Blitz. I'm going to keep Eric around for one more, since he doesn't have to go anywhere. I wanted to ask him.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. His answer is different. His answer is even more crazy to me than yours.
Now, my answer wasn't crazy. I think maybe you just...
No, I mean, I said crazy to me. Yours wasn't ridiculous. I'll admit that, but... I mean,
I just think you have naked pictures of Matt Ryan on your wall at home. You love that guy.
the guy won a league MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember when Nick Foles won the league MVP?
I remember when he won the Super Bowl and he didn't blow a big lead.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I want to ask Eric about his beloved Broncos because you're going to have Gary Kubiak calling plays on offense again, back with his old buddy Case Keenum.
Maybe.
And Vic Fangio is your head coach. Now, actually, that's a place where I could see Nick Foles winding up as Denver.
Wouldn't shock me.
I'd love it. Obvious. You know, we were talking about this just, you know, in the break, but I hit Philly hard on Sunday night. I you know, again, I got it at +9, so it's like I'm kind of looking at the number, not necessarily the side, but it's hard to bet against them right now. That team's got a lot of swag, and he's really cool, super cool customer. And this time of year, I think that really, I mean, you look at, and granted, it's not fair looking at Lamar Jackson in first playoff start.
Right.
But man, twitchy and just nervous. And, you know, Nick Foles is the complete opposite of that. Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, I guess maybe, and he's winning these games, which there's something to be said for that. With, I mean, the exception of the Tampa game, which, or I guess that was early in the season, and you know at the time didn't seem like a bad loss. He won every game this year. Did he lose any games that he started last year? I don't. He might have lost one game that he played last year.
I don't remember. But the one thing about him that I like is he's one of those guys. He's going to score on the last possession. If you give him the ball late in the game, he's going to get the team down there and score. He did it to the Texans. He did it last week to the Bears. Now, doesn't always mean you're going to win because the Bears, frankly, if they make the field goal, doesn't matter. It's kind of like what Deshaun did against the Eagles. He did that, but then they left too much time, and Foles got down there. That's what I like about Foles, though. You give him the ball late in the game with a chance to go down and score, he usually scores.
But can we agree that – so he's played now 6 games this season. He's thrown 9 touchdowns. And 6 interceptions. And suddenly we're talking about him like a top 10 quarterback? Like, well, can we agree that that's a little bit strange?
Well, I never said top 10.
Well, Eric did.
Well, but let me throw this out there. It's not like it's just been these last couple years. You take away playing with Jeff Fisher where nobody's any good. And the guy's had pretty good numbers everywhere, including a 27-2 year under Chip Kelly. So it's not like he's just some – this isn't Frank Reich who came in relief for a couple things. This guy's been an effective quarterback in the league for a long time.
Well, last year when he played 7 regular season games, 5 touchdowns, 2 picks, 537 yards in those games total.
That was it.
And then the playoffs came along. He played really well in the playoffs. So he had a great 3-game stretch similar to what Joe Flacco did a couple years before him.
That actually, AJ, might be the greatest analogy that we've had in this whole conversation. That's probably really...
Like, is Nick Foles Joe Flacco?
He very well might be. I still think he's probably got... I would pick him over Flacco.
Now, obviously.
Right, but thinking back, you know, if you could equalize them in their career paths, right? I'd still probably have taken Foles just because he seems like a little bit more of a motivator. Like, the guys are going to rally around him a little bit more. But that you could absolutely be right. He may have just gotten hot last year. I mean, we'll see, right?
Because it's not like there was some sort of – I mean, he threw 2 touchdowns and 2 picks against the Bears, and now we're having this conversation.
But look at that defense.
Yeah, but again, that's one of maybe the best defense in the league that he was going up against. And what did he do with the game on the line? Which I'll take that every time. That's one reason I've always loved Russell Wilson. You know, Tony Romo used to do that too. He'd be garbage for 3 quarters, but with the game on the line, if they had a chance, he'd lead them on a drive. I'll take that guy any day of the week. Andrew Luck was like that early in his career. He kind of still is. He hasn't had too many of those lately. But yeah, he might suck for 3 quarters, and then when the 4th quarter rolls around, you're down 10, he's going to come back and win the game. I'll take that guy any day of the week. And that's one thing I like about this guy, is you give him the ball in the 4th quarter, he's going to find a way to put points up. You just don't want to be down 49-7 or whatever it was the last time these teams met. So
because then it doesn't
matter.
this conversation a week from now is a lot more clear cut, right?
You
go in and win that game, and then,
well, suddenly it's a real debate at that point.
Yeah,
but
I think no matter what, Nick Foles has earned himself some money. Now, whether or not he's going to get the same. This is what's funny. So if you ask me who do I want going forward, Nick Foles or Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know how much of that is tied to I know who his coach is going to be for the next 5 years, and I don't know who Nick Foles' coach is going to be. But if I were a betting man, I would say I'll take Garoppolo in the next 5 years over Nick Foles. But is Nick Foles going to get the kind of money Jimmy Garoppolo just got?
No.
Is he going to get a five-year deal with that much guaranteed? And what's funny about that, how quickly you said no, how much more is Nick Foles proven than Jimmy Garoppolo
well,
had?
I said no on the presumption, even though I've got the Eagles plus the points, that they lose that game. He wins another Super Bowl?
Well, and then it becomes a different issue entirely, even with the Eagles. But I think the better question, I don't think the would you rather have Foles or Garoppolo conversation is the way to go here. The real conversation to have is, of the guys who are going to be available, if you're the Jaguars, if you're the Broncos, if you're one of these, I'm going to throw the Dolphins in there, your team that needs a quarterback, is there anybody out there that you'd rather have than Nick Foles that's going to be available? I mean, Joe Flacco's the other name. I'll take Foles over him right now because of the age difference, and I don't know if Flacco can play anymore.
Yeah.
But
I think I might too.
Is there anybody out there that you would rather have? That's the question.
Well, I mean, if...
That's going to be available.
I mean, I guess it depends on who gets cut or whatnot. Like if the Lions cut Matt Stafford, I think there's a conversation.
I don't think that's going to happen. Realistically, they say they're bringing Eli back, but let's say you cut Eli.
I'd obviously rather have Foles going forward than Eli. Yeah,
if you're the Jaguars or the Broncos in particular, I think those are the two teams that if you add a quarterback to, they're going to be scary. I mean, you'd rather have Foles and Bortles, right?
Yeah.
And Keenum, right?
Yes.
So, to me, he's going to be not quite what Kirk Cousins was last year, but he's going to get paid by one of those teams.
But you, okay. I would certainly rather have Foles than Cousins. Probably knowing at the end of last year, I would have taken, if Cousins obviously was available,
yeah.
Foles available too.
You would have taken Foles over Cousins?
Yes.
No, not me. Not me. I think it's a discussion worth having now, but a year ago, I don't think so. And by the way, Kirk Cousins didn't have a horrible year. I know everybody in Minnesota wanted to blame their woes on him, just like we were talking about Matt Ryan. Kirk Cousins had a fine year. Minnesota just sucked as a team. Their defense wasn't as good. They just didn't gel this year. They didn't run the ball as well. Here's a funny thing. I found a story from December 31st. So... Before
the divisional or the wild card.
Yeah, before the wild card game. And it's called Previewing a Limited QB Market. And it's on Forbes. Guess who the first name they mention is? And I'll say, blank will be the most coveted free agent quarterback this offseason.
Probably Flacco.
Well, Flacco, they'd have to cut him for him to be available.
Oh, yeah,
they
yeah,
will,
yeah.
But I'm... Teddy Bridgewater.
That's what I was going to say. Probably Teddy, but they obviously didn't watch him play that last game.
Well, it says, despite a forgettable Week 17 audition. I don't understand the whole love for Teddy Bridgewater at this point.
Well, I think...
Talk about a guy who's never done anything.
Well, he had a pretty good season with the Vikings. He looked like he was about to break out, and then his leg exploded, and he hasn't played since. Now you're just hoping that he's going to be a guy that you can bring back, but I don't think... That level jump he was about to make, I don't think that's ever coming now.
It's got Nick Foles number 2, Tyrod Taylor number 3, Ryan Fitzpatrick number 4.
Well,
McCown, Simeon, and Osweiler.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the list of free agents.
Foles would be at the top of that list for me. If I'm the Jaguars, you could do worse than Taylor. I think you're a better team with him.
The Jaguars should be all in for Nick Foles.
Well, yeah, I think they should be.
Or Joe Flacco. Either one. Like, I mean, I really think the Jaguars are good enough that if they had a serviceable quarterback, they'd be scary.
I don't know if Flacco could be serviceable.
I don't know either.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94. We only have one segment left.
That's it.
Just flew by. We'll be right back.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Always fun to have Eric on the show. All right, let's close out Wednesday the way we close out every Wednesday with famous deaths. 2018, Fast Eddie Clark, British guitarist from Fastway and Motorhead.
Oh, yeah.
Dies from pneumonia at 67. What was that Fastway song? Say what you will.
I don't know.
They had this little tiny singer with this monster voice. 1949, Victor Fleming, American film director of The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind.
I'd say he had a couple hits there.
He was sort of the Spielberg of the 40s.
Yeah.
We have 1971, Gabrielle Coco Chanel, the French fashion designer.
I think that's Gabrielle.
I'll go with Gabriel.
She's a lady.
No, it's a guy. It's got to be a guy. Because French, Coco, that's a guy.
Okay.
Dead at 87. All right, it's Gabriel. Who cares? Nikola Tesla.
Oh, she invented the Tesla.
Invented the Tesla motor, according to Jong. I'm pretty sure that was a guy who invented the antenna. Dead at 86. Pretty good run. 1874.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's Elon Musk's godfather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 1874.
Do you think Elon Musk has ever killed anyone?
Let's just be serious. Yeah, he's rich enough.
For sure.
Yeah, he's out.
And I'm not making an accusation. I'm just saying he seems like the kind of
No. If you're that rich,
yeah,
you go pay somebody who's dying for you to hunt them down like a dog and shoot them. Or you just, you know, you go full Joker on them and chop them up into little pieces. I guarantee you when Eric's that rich, he's going to do that. Gail Borden, the inventor of condensed milk, dead at 72. That was in 1874. You made it to 72 in 1874.
That's pretty impressive.
That's like 170 now. 1852, Louis Braille, who came up with Braille, of course, dead of tuberculosis at 43. And as we always say, didn't see it coming. 1825, Eli Whitney, dead of prostate cancer at 59, invented the cotton gin. That'd be more impressive if he'd invented gin.
Yeah.
But, man, these are not good deaths. Like, 1983, Roy DeMeo, American gangster from the Gambino crime family, murdered at 40. He's not even making my top 25 gangster list. Maybe not my top 50 gangster list. 2001, affirmed, racehorse, dead.
Overrated.
1994, Morty the Moose. All right, let's just get to the best ones. 2016, David Bowie.
There we go. That's a good one.
Yeah, 2003, Maurice Gibb of the Bee Gees. 1919, Theodore Teddy Roosevelt.
Yep, I like to call him Ted.
1862, Samuel Colt.
Made us all equal.
Indeed. 1642, Galileo. And 1324, Marco.
Polo.
Yeah. Polo. All right, here's your porn stars. 2018, Olivia Nova dies from?
Drug overdose.
I couldn't hear you because John was talking.
Oh, drug overdose / car wreck / murdered by pimp.
Cause unknown, so you win. 2007, Vanessa Freeman.
Murdered by pimp.
Murdered by prostitute client. Interesting.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
John?
No, close enough, yeah.
Okay.
And Nadia Childs, 2002.
Drug overdose.
And threw herself off a balcony on acid.
By the way, Adam Gase expected to be Jets' head coach.
Congratulations, Jets.
All right.
Hey, thanks to David for bringing me a new Carbach light, by the way.
Yeah.
About damn time, David. You're the man.